Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the Meet the Author show. And my name is Denny Griffin, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be your host, and we're going to be talking about books and about writing. And my guest author tonight is Rick Glaze. And Rick has his first novel recently released called The Middle Fork. Rick, welcome to Meet the Author, and thanks for being here.
Well, Denny, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
And if we could start out, Rick, if you could explain the book. I've read it, and I enjoyed it very much, but explain what the book is about and why you wrote it.
Well, I'd love to. The book is an exciting adventure, down the Salmon River in Idaho. The Salmon River is one of the deepest gorges in North America. Very exciting trip. I am an avid kayaker, and I did take this particular trip, but I've also kayaked down rivers in California and Oregon and Tennessee. But this is a book about vacationers that come out from San Francisco and the Los Angeles area, and some of them are old college buddies, and some of the people are friends of friends, and they take this trip, but they get caught up by flash floods that are very sudden for them, snake attacks. There's romance in the book, but I've added a component which really it seems to be eliciting passion from people, and what happens is the people start arguing some of the hot button political issues of our time, which include global warming and things about the environment and this nasty thing that we're trying to solve in immigration. So it's a lot like people might have arguments at home or in other kinds of things, except they have it around the campfire here, and it's meant to kind of air both sides of these topics out. So that's kind of a general summary of what the plot of the book is.
And as you said, you are a veteran kayaker, and you also know, I really like the dialogue when into the discussions that took place, the political issues that you just mentioned, some of them, and very realistic dialogue, in my opinion, and I enjoyed that. So I'm going to guess that you've heard those types of conversations before.
Well, it's a good point, and the answer is a little bit long because I've heard these kinds of dialogues around my normal life here. Not on the river. I am involved in politics somewhat, and look at those issues. I try to read both sides of what people are saying. But the funny thing about it is, why did those dialogues happen on the river, and are they meaningful? The funny thing is, I was workshopping this novel at my writing classes at Stanford University, and I took a couple of weeks off because a group of us ran the Grand Canyon in the Colorado River, and some of the people were saying, at Stanford, I don't think people are going to pay for a vacation like this and go out there and ruin it by talking politics. I said, well, I think they kind of do. Down that trip, second day, we're all in rafts, and seven people started arguing about the Iraq war. We had to stop to run a rapid in which it threw three of the people onto the floor, just floored them on the heavy water, and then they got up and started talking about the Iraq war again. So I think it does happen. Another small anecdote is one of the guides that was on the salmon trip that this book is about. I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and I said, well, there's some parts on there, there's flood, and I maybe exaggerated some of that flooding area there, and he said, well, the year you were, it didn't flood, but the next year it completely flooded out, just like you said. Not only that, I said, well, also I exaggerated, I talk to people come in, they bring themselves with them and all their concerns about politics. And I said, do you think that really happens? He said, it happens every single time people bring something with them like this. And it takes 3 or 4 days to kind of get their life kind of talked out, and then they start enjoying the wilderness. So that's what happened.
So you were right on then with your with your scenarios there.
Well, I think it's realistic,
in
some ways, yeah.
Yeah, and I've never kayaked, so, you know, I don't have the experience there. But like I say, I get into my share of political discussions, and they certainly, like I say, I was impressed with the dialogue. I felt like I was in the room, or not in the room in this case, but there at the campfire and so forth. Now, you politics, I think you'll agree with me, can be a thorny issue at times.
Yes.
In real life. And so when you were writing in order to try to keep a balance, was that tough? Did you want to get more maybe personal opinions into it, or did you have to watch yourself and try to keep an even keel?
Well, I did. Of course, I had the characters do the talking. And
right.
The characters, they each have their own personalities, and one of my goals in writing fiction is to make sure that the personalities and what they do and say is consistent with who they are. And so I built a conservative, the woman on the trip, I built her personality that way, and I think I built the liberal personality the other way and kind of made them consistent. But I think that I think it's fairly true to to what the kind of persons they are.
And you did a nice job on that. I think if you gave both sides of the issue, and your characters did reflect the very clearly their positions and where they were coming from. Before we go any further along, let me give our number if anybody has a question or comment. And you would like to talk to Rick, you can reach us at 646-478-0982. 646-478-0982. And Rick, would you, before we get on to the next question, could you tell us any information about where your book is available, what websites and so forth?
Well, I sure can, Danny, and I'm so happy to tell people how to get it, because I think it's an exciting read. The book is available pretty much on all online retailers like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Borders Books, as well as the indiebound.org. You can do them online. Any bookstore, I think, in the country can order this book for you. So you can go into your favorite neighborhood store, and they could probably have it in 2 or 3 or 4 days. So widely available.
Okay, and it's, again, The Metal Fork, and it's Rick Glaze, G-L-A-Z-E. So if you're searching on one of the Internet sites, the title and the author, and you should be able to get it with no problem. Now, back to the writing of the book. How long did it take you from when you started the manuscript, not to get published, but until the manuscript was finished and ready for submission?
Well, the... it was my first novel. I'd been writing columns for the newspapers around here for many years, and I was taking classes at Stanford and writing some short fiction, short stories. I started with the novel, and I just powered through, even though I was writing on weekends and evenings. And I finished the first draft of the novel in about 6 months. I think that the fast pace of the writing is reflected or reminiscent of the fast pace of the river, and that's what I think I just wanted to get that done. Now, that said, I had the bones of it, but it probably took 2 years of rewrites and rethinking to get the novel in the shape it's in today. And I had some help. I had some editors look at it and make suggestions and so forth. So it took a while, but again, my first book, and I think I wanted to make sure I dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's for it.
Yes. excuse me. The did you find that once you had the manuscript ready to submit or ready for publishing, what did you do in the way of looking for a publisher? What was your experience?
Well, I started digging into it and talking to people and looking at opportunities, and I spent some time talking to agents and searching out agents. I sent the manuscript around to different agents in San Francisco, which is near my home, as well as some New York agents. I even contacted some people in Idaho because the book takes place on the Salmon River in Idaho. And so I spent a fair share of time letting people take a look at it and talking to them. In the end, I looked straight in to publishers and found my publisher who decided to go with the book, a small publisher out of Austin, Texas, and so that worked out fairly well for me.
Rick, let me I have the chat room open here. I just want to read you a comment in the chat room. I thought it sheer genius to use a kayaking trip and the rapids as a setting for the novel. No matter character thoughts, prejudices, or opinions, the characters have to band together to survive when on the water. And that, to me, shows that all people, no matter the political agendas, can coexist. We just have to band together as one. We don't have to have the same beliefs to hold hands. So that's a comment on your setting for your book.
That's fair. I think that's true. Go ahead.
Genius idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love that.
I bet.
That's very, very flattering. But, you know, Denny, one of the reasons I wrote the book, I love kayaking, and I wanted to express my great thrill in going down these rivers and in the wilderness. I just love it. But the other reason I wrote it is because I found myself getting up in the morning reading the newspaper, and before going out, I'd sit in front of the computer and write off letters to the editor because I didn't think the story was covered right, or it was clouded in bias, or something like that. And I got a few published, but most of them weren't. And so I started thinking maybe there's something better I can do here. And I wanted to write this book and include political dialogue and to do just what you were talking about, maybe illustrate how we could work through these things. I mean, in the book, there's some pretty vicious dialogue, like you hear out in the world, or you hear on TV and radio on these topics. But you're right. In the end, these people have to put aside these what look to be petty interests because they have a serious flash flood and serious river experience to work through to survive on the river. So I think there is, hopefully there is that element that really shows people that you can kind of have these kinds of ideas in these dialogues, but come together in the end.
This I like too your female, the conservative voice, and certainly added a lot. I mean, if you would, I think it added a lot because, well, it also opened the door for a little romance, but I don't think it would have been as exciting with just a bunch of guys.
Well, I think that's right, and one of the things we did in the rewrite is, you know, the narrator, Jonathan, and Sonia end up getting together. They're kind of different in ages, but Jonathan's a widower, and he's alone, and so forth. So, but I started having Jonathan notice Sonia from across the room from the very beginning of the book, and he kind of noticed her, and you know, he's not a gigolo or a fast guy, but she was good looking, and he liked her style, and then throughout the book, they kind of get together a little bit, and kind of get to be friendly, and then of course there's so much stress on all the characters with this with the tragedies they have to deal with on the river. So that kind of brings them together too, and they get to know each other. So I think my wife said that the narrator gets the girl, and she said when you're the writer, you always write in the girl that you like the best, and you get her. And I said, well, I think that's a prerogative of writing your own book.
Right.
I'm glad you liked her.
authorship has its privileges, right?
I think that's right.
Now, getting back to the writing piece, do you belong to any writers' groups?
I am. There's Narrative Magazine is out of San Francisco, a relatively new thing, and I'm involved with them somewhat. And then I've recently joined a group here in Silicon Valley of writers. And then there's the Left Coast Writers Group, who I'm talking to right now. So I haven't been involved in too many because I'm busy running a business, and most of my writing has been nonfiction in the financial area. So I'm enjoying starting to get to know some fiction writers.
Did your experience with the writers groups? I personally. Now, over the years, I've ended up joining three. I currently belong to three. And I think they can be a wealth of information, especially for a new writer. I mean, you can learn a lot from the people who have been there and done that. Are you getting that impression also?
With my kind of new experiences with the groups, I am.
Yeah.
It not only, I think it helps with working through some of these issues, but also they seem to be sympathetic ears to what you're writing, and they appreciate the fact that you're pushing it out there, and everything your first drafts aren't exactly what your finals are going to be, and so those are kind of nurturing kind of things for people that also do it. I think that makes a big difference.
Now, do you have a novel number two in mind, or anything you're working on at this point?
Well, I do. And I've got a temporary title for it called Caribbean Breeze. It's going to be a modern-day treasure hunt. It takes place in Silicon Valley and the Virgin Islands, and it's got a sailing theme to it. We kayak, but we've taken up sailing in the last few years and enjoy it quite a bit. So there's going to be a treasure buried at an island in the British Virgin Islands. But there's going to be other elements happening right in the middle of Silicon Valley, and so it's going to go back and forth a little bit. So I'm excited about it. I started the book because I had a dream, and I woke up and I couldn't believe how exciting this dream was. So I got down and I sat down and just wrote down a paragraph about it, and ended up starting the whole novel with it. And what happens is the main character in the book dies in the first few pages, and he lifts off his body, and this was my dream, and sees himself, he's above his body, and he sees himself slumping down, and from there, he transports himself into a sailing situation with the breeze and the spray in his face, and then he backstories his whole life from there, and tells how he got there. So I think it's kind of a fun format to write in.
Oh, it's, yeah, absolutely. It's unique. I'm trying to think if I've ever heard anything like that before, and I can't think of anything
well,
offhand. So it's very, very innovative.
It was a dream.
Hey. Now, what do you have a target date or an estimated completion date for that one?
No, I don't. I think it's going to be a longer book. This the Middle Fork is about 145 pages. And I was laughing at a reading the other night in Palo Alto that, it's 145 pages because we started at the top of the river and we got to the end, the book was over. So this one's going to be a longer book because the plot's going to be a little more to work with. So I'm not writing it right at the moment because we're busy with the launch of the Middle Fork, and I'm doing readings and signings all over the Bay Area, and interviews like with Denny today, but I hope to get started back on it soon.
It's very tough. It was for me. Let me put it that way. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I didn't realize when I wrote my first manuscript how important or how much more there was to the business of writing than just getting the manuscript done. And if you really get into writing and want to do it right, I mean, you have to spend a lot of time marketing, too, as you're doing. And
well, that's completely right, and I'm learning that. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy talking to people like you and talking to reviewers and giving the talks. But you're not at home writing, and I really love to kind of form these stories and get them going. But what I'm learning is kind of interesting. After one of my readings recently, a student from Stanford came up and said she's part of her classes is to visit readings from authors, and she said, "Do you have any advice?" And you know, one of the interesting things I'm learning about marketing is this book is about kayaking and about river running. Well, but I didn't write it for river runners. I wrote it for everybody, and it had the political theme and all that. But I'm finding that part of the marketing and part of the interest is from the outdoor community who love rivers and running them and rafts or kayaks. And so that's part of the marketing thing. And I'm learning about that a little bit more, about how those kinds of themes and those kind of themes can play into the marketing effort now.
Did you find, Rick, when when you got into the, well, actually the whole thing, after the manuscript was done, the publishing and the marketing, did you find that you have to be a little cautious, or at least my experience was that I thought writing would be a relatively benign business. But I found out, in fact, I almost got grabbed a couple of times in the publishing area by scammers. And, you know, they know what to tell you. They tell you what you want to hear. Oh, we read the first three chapters, blah, blah, blah. This is probably the greatest thing since sliced bread. And all it needs is a little polishing. Now, if you go to so-and-so, did you run into anything like that at all? Any near scams?
There's a little bit of that out there, and luckily I didn't see too much of it, but I've been in business for a number of years, and so I kind of see a little bit of it coming. I had some people want to do various kinds of other programs with the book, and the same kind of thing. This is the best thing since sliced bread. You're really good. This ought to be really good, and, you know, and for $4,000, you know, we can make all this happen or something.
Yes.
And it's nice to get flattered, but on the other hand, I found that you've got to kind of have a plan of what you want to do and just go straight forward and do that. And my plan is pretty traditional. We're doing book readings and signings in traditional bookstores. We're doing things online, both interviews like this one and reviews, and so and that's working out pretty well for us.
And you're fortunate in that you enjoy the marketing piece, right? That's a big help. I know some people are scared stiff when they realize that they've got to make appearances and meet people and shake hands and sign books and read and all that kind of thing. And I don't know, I can't prove this, but I think some people might fail in their marketing efforts because they can't ever master that piece of it. It's obviously, no matter how good the book is, if nobody knows about it and you're not getting it out there, you know, it's not worth a whole lot because nobody buys it.
Well, that's the issue. You put so much work into writing it, and you rewrite it, and you work it out so everything you're saying, you hope, comes across like you meant it. And then if you don't get any readership, it's kind of disappointing. So I think it's important. But I think that, you know, I'm outgoing and I like to talk to people, but standing in front of people reading from my book, it can be terrorizing. So what I've done is I've just practiced and practiced and practiced, and I've read over passages over and over and over. So I'm real comfortable with them, and I get comfortable with the whole process. And I think anybody that is a little scared of it, let me back up and say, I think if you're not a little scared of it, then you're probably not normal.
Good point.
Yeah, you're going to be a little gun-shy of it, and or stage fright, I should say. And I found in my situation that, again, if I just practice it and just redo it over and over, so then if you're in the middle of reading and you get a little distracted by somebody coughing or something, you don't worry about it because you're better. And I also find once you do it a few times and get the heebie-jeebies out, why then it works better. So maybe that's good. Maybe that'll be advice for somebody who's got stage fright.
Yeah, very good. And it's, I think today with the internet and the research capabilities and writers groups that are available either online or, local chapters or groups where you can physically attend meetings and so forth, I wish I had taken advantage of those, and I'd have been much more prepared myself for what I was getting into, because I didn't do the research, and I'll admit that. I didn't research like I should have, and all I thought I had to do was, get to the keyboard and bang out this manuscript, and then there would be, a bunch of editors and publicity agents and so forth that would take it from there, and I would just kind of sit back on my couch with my remote control and wait for the checks to come in. And I had a very rude awakening that that is not at all the way it goes. So
that was my hope, too.
That would be nice, right? But I wasn't prepared for it. And after my first book, and I learned there was a lot more to the business than the manuscript, then I did the research. It was belatedly, and I had a pretty rocky start. And so I would encourage any new writer with a book in progress or thinking about writing a book to do their homework before they start and kind of know what you're getting into and know what you're going to have to do in addition to the keyboard piece, that there's more to it than that. Would you think that's good advice or no?
I think that's excellent advice. I think that the keyboard piece is the key to, you have to have good, you have to write well, and you have to be really satisfied with what you wrote, and whether it's fiction or nonfiction, and then it's getting to the it's speaking to the audience that you want, and you have to make sure that's ironclad. But then secondly, I think your advice is perfect because it's a whole different thing, marketing it and getting it out there than writing. I enjoy both. I think they're both an adventure, and I'm having fun with them. So, but I think your advice is very well spoken.
And if you can do that, like I am now, I'm also enjoying the marketing and the writing and everything. And if you can do that, it's not a job or a chore. Then it's something you look forward to if you enjoy what you're doing.
I think so.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that if there's some parts of it that people are a little apprehensive about or don't love the most, just kind of get into it and learn it, and as I say, practice it, and I think these things will come a little easier for people. And after all, if they're talking about a book that they wrote and they love the topic, then eventually that's going to come out, and people will enjoy their talk.
And I think you used a very appropriate word a few minutes ago when you said you were very comfortable. I think you have each of us have to reach our comfort level, comfort zone, and that makes everything a lot easier. When you're comfortable with what you're doing and you do it smoothly, like you say, and whether it's naturally or whether you got to do a lot of practice or a combination, but when you get to that comfort level, I think the fear maybe of appearing before the public to give a talk or do a reading or do a signing, I think that will go away.
Yeah, I think so. And as I said, I'm getting pretty comfortable with it, but I'm still a little nervous before each thing. But it's getting better and better, the more I look at this book and the more I see what comments I'm getting, I'm very, very excited about it. So I think other people will find that will be the case too.
Hey, Rick, we're down to our last 30 seconds or so. If you had to give a new author one piece of advice about writing, what would it be?
Don't use adverbs.
Okay.
Don't use adverbs. Use really strong verbs. Now, how's that for anything?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's, again, unique. You're coming up with all unique stuff.
well,
Okay, folks, we're just out of time. Rick, I want to thank you a million for being here, and I really enjoyed your book. And the best of luck with it. And remember, folks, the book, The Metal Fork, by Rick Glaze. Okay,
thanks
Rick,
so
thanks
much,
a million. And let me know when the new one's out, and we'll have you back.
Good. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a great night.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, and thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time on Meet the Author. Good night.